Amen. You follow the Spirit of God within you. He is trying to lead you to show you an inheritance. Say inheritance. Now, how many of you can actually fathom what the inheritance is? Have you worked out what the inheritance is? To be honest with you, I haven't. I know I have. I live in a house, there's a fence, and everything within the fence is our property. Outside the fence is not my property. Is that my inheritance? Well, we bought it. Partly, you know, partly it was a gift, partly bought. If I give it to our children, maybe it's inheritance, but it's to me, I can't say so. But if you look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, it says this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse, having become a curse for us, as it is written, curse for everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So there is the blessing of Abraham that will come upon us. What is that blessing? Well, if you read Genesis 12, it appears that there is some land involved. But seriously, where is that land? It's in Canaan. I mean, the Palestinians and the Israelis are fighting enough. I recommend you to get in between. You know? There's a lot more land here, I think, than over there. And less fighting over here. Now, if you go and look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We are partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Ephesians chapter 3 also says this, or sorry, chapter 1 talks about the inheritance as well. So, what then? If I'm honest with you, there was a time when I read this, and I think we probably shared here in church as well. We were actually quite carnal about things, quite materialistic. Abraham had camels and donkeys, so he didn't have a car, so God owes me a car. That is a blessing of Abraham, right? So I'm inherit. So we put God to debt. They owe us a car, materialistic, right? Is it what he really means? You know, Abraham had gold and silver. Aha! That means I'm going to have gold as inheritance. You're kidding me. You start saving first. We can end up materialistic, or worse, even hedonistic, because we've been influenced by this thing. But does God really mean that? I don't think so. What does he really mean? Well, he promised them those things because of his original intent speaking to Adam and Eve when creation was perfect. That intention, his intent was packed in the word that blessed. The enemy came, upset everything. Man was foolish, belief a lie, the whole thing going chaotic. But he moved in with his salvation plan. More spirit beings came and rebelled. And so he cast them aside without one man, Abram. It sounds like God is determined to win. Amen. And since we are saved, I would encourage all of us to be on his side. Because I've learned after 30 years, he always wins. Amen. So since we're going to be on the winning side, let's work with him. Because he always wins, and he is determined to win. He worked through Abram. So he promised the land to him. He said, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse who curse you. That puts on notice to Satan and his cohorts. Amen. God has drawn the fine line. I'll bless you. I'll give you this. Dimas, it's an inheritance to you. Anybody who comes against you, come against me. Anybody who's for you, is for me. And I'll reward them with a blessing. Now how about that for God? Amen. You and I enjoy a kind of Old Testament privilege made available in the New Testament promise. Hallelujah. So Abraham did that. And as he was very blessed, one fine day, he met up with Melchizedek, the king of Salem. And Melchizedek said to him, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Well, they just increased that dimension. It's not just inheritance in the natural. It says you're a possessor of heaven and earth. And we are sons of Abraham, through faith. Am I correct? Hallelujah. What does that mean then if the blessing of Abraham comes about? You are possessors of heaven and earth. Amen. That's why when there's a new heaven and a new earth, guess what? I got an apartment there. And so have you. Amen. Mine is very big. Yours is not small. How about that? Amen. Because it is His promise. And the blessing of Abraham comes upon the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Then we have Isaac and Jacob. And Isaac said to Jacob, because he was blessing his son. He knew that his time had come, and so he marked the firstborn blessing. And he has twins. So he has to be careful. Two of them are all, they're not quite alike, but certainly they're born at the same time. So they're the same age. So he has to make sure he chooses the right one. And this is the one that he chose to bless. We realize, of course, he didn't bless Esau, but he blessed Jacob. But this is the firstborn blessing. This is what he says. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let all serve you, and nations bow down to you, and master over your brethren. Let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. If you follow the wording, you find again the scope has changed. That now, in this privileged position of blessing and anointing, other people come and serve you. In creation, it was just fruitful, multiply, take dominion, fill it up. Nothing more specific than that. In Abraham's time, it became, the scope is more tangible. This is the land, it's yours, it's an inheritance. Now in time, it's a bit more specific, again, get down to his level. Now, how many of you are firstborn? Praise God. I'm a firstborn. My wife is firstborn. Huh? We've got double firstborn blessings. Now, what happens if you're not firstborn? Jadila. How? You get Esau's blessing? Not very nicely. Are you in Christ? Is he the firstborn of anything? Are you aware of him being the firstborn of the dead? Amen. He's the first to rise up. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, and he is the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, then in all things he may have the preeminence. This is a spiritual blessing. Amen. That through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we see the scope expand, and we see the scope being detailed. This is our inheritance. We see the effect on Abraham. We see the effect on Isaac. We see the effect on Jacob. All of them were successful. None of them were perfect. Amen. But they were all successful. Next week we'll talk a little bit more about Jacob, but here's a little bit here. His wife, Rebekah, took some idols from Laban, her father, and hid it. Remember? And Laban came looking for it. So she sat on it. And she tells her father a lie. It's my menses period. I can't move. But she was actually sitting on the idols. So the father couldn't find it and let Jacob go. But actually they were guilty. The idols were with her. So when the time came for Jacob to return, after the long story, two wives, two maidservants, 12 children, and so on, Esau, finally he got back to Bethel. He tells his entire tribe, his whole family, we are now going back to where I come from. I know that place is where I am. Now, give me all your idols. He asked every one of them to empty their pockets. He took all those idols, dug a hole, and buried it. And he brought his family home. It may be significant to us that when God was blessing Jacob, God did not see those idols as a hindrance. Is that interesting? Why? Is God of double standard? He works by His promise. He works by His covenant. He has a covenant with Abraham. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He works according to His purpose and according to His schedule, according to Kairos moment. Hallelujah. But the time will come when He tells us to clean up. Amen. To separate yourself. Why? Because now we are shifting gears. Hallelujah. Amen. So, I'm going to close here like this. You already know your position in Christ, the blessedness that you're in. We are not exhibits. We're not in an aquarium, not in a zoo. We're definitely not in a circus. Amen. Because people will call us hypocrites. You do-gooders. Knowing very well that we are also imperfect. But if we know who is and where our privileges come from and the anointing we carry, we have a lot more to offer. Amen. And so I want to leave us with this thought. That because of what God spoke to Adam and Eve, if they fail, His word carries on His purpose. And when the demonic angels and beings tried to disrupt everything that was good that God intended and caused chaos and mayhem in mankind, God continued thing. Amen. And so He worked with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the rest of the saints as examples for us. And He gave His Son to just cap everything. So that now, whatever was not quite all, sometimes hindered, but Jesus Christ made all of that possible. He squared it off. Whatever was a debt, He paid, gave us His Spirit. Now we are the inheritance of all of that. And so we are in positions of influence and authority, besides being believers. Amen. And I want you to carry this thought with you, that you and I am a chosen generation for a purpose. Not for show. We are royal priests for a purpose. We know God. We can make decrees and declaration. What we speak have authority. As the demons lay hands on the sick and proclaim healing. Amen. Hallelujah. We are a holy people because of who He is. Not because we are perfect, but because of who He is. And so He called unto Himself, be holy, be set aside, be sanctified, and not just sanctified, but be put to good use. You know, in the animal sacrifice, the spade, you know the spade that they remove the ashes? The spade is a sanctified utensil. It was made for one purpose, to remove the ashes. Am I correct? Now that spade is sanctified, but if that spade is not made to use, then what's the point of being a sanctified spade? Right. You are sanctified, you are made holy. But if you don't let your holiness, His nature, radiate from you to touch and influence others, then what's the point? That's a challenge. As special people, we proclaim praises. We're not silent. Amen. We are called out. We are His people. We carry His mark about us. Amen. We don't wear phylacteries like the Pharisees or some of the conservative Jews do. And they put a headpiece, keeping the word between their eyes and tying it to their hands. But we have the Word of God, the Spirit of God indwelling us. We are conscious of the Word of God who became flesh. We are His special people. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you in that way. And because you have obtained mercy, you know how sweet it is. You can easily relate that to somebody who needs mercy. Amen. Because you know how sweet it is. You can tell them exactly how sweet it is. Amen. It's not about Jambira or Wadanka or whatever it is. You tell them how sweet it is, the mercy of God. And His love endures forever. Amen. And we have those inheritances and so on and so forth are much more. But it's contained in the DNA of God's Word. And we'll explore more of that in the weeks to come. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this time. Thank You for Your people who are here. We thank You that You have brought us into this place. You have caused us to have understanding. And Father, even as I have shared, I will bless everybody here with comprehension, realizing the privilege, and letting Your goodness work in our lives and permeate our flesh, our bones, our soul. Hallelujah. To realize what I'm and all the good things that you have in store for us. That we don't have to search too far, for they are already deposited in us, in your word of truth, through your Spirit. Help us to see to appropriate by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.